You've gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young, right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s, till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode number. It's 19, right? Episode number 19.
Number 19.
In honor of my softball uniform for 4 years ago, my number was 19. Thank you very much. Thank you.
In honor of the year I lost my virginity.
Softball. Basically 2 hours in between drinking and waking up.
Yo, I'm pretty sure 19 was my hockey number too, because I'm that white of a rapper that I played hockey.
Who are you?
Get it in. Yo, it is fucking Chrome Bills episode 19 in what I'm calling a Banksy week in fucking New York City.
Why's that?
Everyone from like the paper I read in the morning on the train to people I follow on Twitter and Instagram is freaking out that Banksy is in New York for, I guess, like a 1 month or 2 month window and is putting pieces up all over the place in Brooklyn and the East Village and the Lower East Side and the Bowery and all that stuff.
Are they arresting him?
No, and that's what I don't get. I'm like, if they really wanted to catch him, some of these pieces look like they take hours to put up.
Our mutual
like,
friend
one of them
Knobs,
was like, it was fellow. Like a garden in the back of a truck that they were driving around.
Our mutual friend Knobs, fellow crate digger, put something on Instagram the other day where he was talking about the Banksy presence in general, but he also pointed out that a fellow graffiti writer had gone and written over one of Banksy's pieces. Did you hear about that, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, definitely heard about it.
And Knob's response was interesting. He's like, yo, go back and do your history. This is how this shit goes. You know, you don't get people doing art installations. You get people going for props, which I thought was, I feel like Banksy, respect due. He's above that, but I wonder how he feels about it. Let's ask him, because he's here.
Well, that's like saying
cat. I'm sorry.
That's like saying that a good rapper shouldn't be hated on. Like, there's not someone out there being like, oh, fuck Rakim. He's soft.
True.
Which I think like 30 years later, people kind of respect, but I'm sure in 1988, there was someone that thought Rakim was a bitch and wanted to diss him.
Yeah, I think he got dissed. I'm sure he got dissed.
He was like, fish,
Kane dissed
which
him.
Is my favorite dish, but well, without those lyrics, he was still a bitch.
Do you think the person that wrote over Banksy was dissing him or was basically, A, trying to grab onto his tail and get some fame? Do you think the person that dissed Rakim was saying, I think this dude's wacko? Is he like, yo, I respect him, and this is how I show respect? Or do you think that people don't think that far and I'm just insane?
Cole, a long time ago, you used a phrase that was, someone's trying to leapfrog my nutsack to get above my head. And I think that that's what's going on here, is that you're right. There's a fame angle that someone can just say, I'll be the dude that dissed Banksy. And there may or may not be...
Right.
An element of respect between the two. I mean, graffiti writers are just savages when it comes down to like shitting on other people's stuff. Because unlike in music, where to diss someone you kind of gotta hit the lab and drop 16 bars and record it. Oh, look, Rakim coming in right on time, just like I planned. You could diss someone in like 4 seconds in graffiti. Like, there's no other element of hip-hop where you can diss someone that fast.
It's very
discuss.
True. Hey, just an idea, a business proposition for you would be to go and
diss
get
Banksy?
Yourself a... Yeah. No. Go and get yourself a crowbar and find a piece of art that he's painted and take it out of the wall. because I think you can sell that on eBay for a lot of money.
I think he'd respect that. I think he'd really be down with that.
I think somebody's done that before, right? Didn't you tell me a story?
I think I told you the story about my boy that is Green Lantern's manager. Hit the name drop button. Who are you?
Who are you?
Was telling me the story about, yeah. I guess in L.A. there's a law that you gotta, certain parts of Hollywood or whatever, if graffiti goes up, you have to remove it within 7 days. And a Banksy piece went up, and they went over and cut it out of the wall, sold it for like $100,000. Make that money, son.
We should go to New York right now.
Seriously, you Cole, you're on furlough.
You go
sipping
and
on Merlot. Chilling
well, yeah, but
on
we were gonna furlough. come up next week, and then you got all mini ha ha highbrow on us and told us wait till November.
True.
You weren't gonna come anywhere.
I was gonna come. Were you gonna go, Steve?
Yes.
Were you?
Yeah. You were gonna come back after DJing my show on Monday?
Yeah, am I DJing your show on Monday?
Are you coming up?
We should probably practice. We should probably practice.
Is that this Monday?
Yeah.
Cole, what do you put the odds on? What's more likely to happen? The government shutdown to end in the next 4 seconds or Steve to...
I'd say there's
Steve
a better
DJ
chance of me becoming a master carpenter in the next 80 years than Chuck going up to
I will
DJ
throw
show.
This out there.
I'm
if
sorry.
You want
Cole, it's measure twice, cut once, man.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
My rule was always cut once, bash three times. Yell and
Son
scream.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Yo, did you see, this is so off topic, but Beasley is back on Miami. Did you see this shit from last night?
No. Well, I knew he was back on Miami. What happened
that
last night?
All right, so he like traveled late in the game. This is preseason basketball. They had like a 20-point lead. He travels late in the game going to the basket, gets called for a foul. Punches himself in the head out of frustration so hard he had to go to the hospital.
Are you serious?
Yo, no joke, man.
Wow.
This is the world we live in.
Was it a left-handed punch? Because he's a lefty.
That's a good question.
I could see that, man. If you connect on the right part of your temple, was he out cold? Like, did he drop immediately?
Well, he said he was a lefty with a pen, but a righty when he shoots. So I don't really know.
Well played.
I don't know which one.
FirstDateBasis.bandcamp.com.
Keith Booth.
I got something I want to talk to you about. I do. First, I want that clapping to stop. I know I'm the one who triggered it, but yeah, you got to do what I want. Cut once, bash three times. Remember that. Living Color fans, the band that brought you the famous song Cult of Personality.
Oh, I was listening to that song. I thought we were talking about the
show. Sorry, we can talk about that too, but I want to make this point. I looked up the guitarist whose name was Vernon Reid, who just, I mean, some of the illest guitar solos on any kind of music I've ever heard, particularly Call to Personality. I looked up a Google image of him. He looks exactly like Pharoah Monch. And I realize a white guy saying that about two black guys, that could be taken the wrong, but I'm telling you, look
racist.
It up, listeners. We should put something on SoundCloud
racist.
Side by side.
He also looks like Gus Johnson.
He also looks like Omar Epps and the coach of the Steelers.
And Barack Obama.
And this guy I knew in middle school.
Hey, do you know Willis? Because you guys have the exact same mannerisms.
Cue the racist button on the soundboard.
We need a Hot 97.
I don't know which one it is.
Okay. Racist button.
I can verify that he does look like Pharoah Monch. So
yeah.
It's cool.
You saw it.
Yeah, he does look
Back
like
me up, my fellow white friend.
He does look like Pharoah Monch.
Yeah. What else? I got a couple things written down here, man. I did want to talk about this. I was texting you guys. So there's this new law that went into effect in Maryland. I'm sure it's all over the place already because Maryland is a retarded state. But you can't use your phone to talk or text. So I'm driving.
What, at all or when you drive?
When you're driving. I'd assume you're allowed to use it when you're at a stoplight or a stop sign.
I don't think you are.
Yeah, I hope not.
While the car's
just
running.
Just take fucking 20 minutes to not be on your phone. Put it in your trunk.
You're probably talking to an offender right here.
Well, I offended it on the way here. But I was stuck in traffic, and I texted you guys saying 95 is a nightmare. And what eventually I realized what it was it wasn't because it was the rain. It wasn't because it was 5:15 on a Friday. These complete idiots were standing on an overpass holding up signs saying, honk for impeachment, talking about Obama because we're still in the furlough or whatever bullshit reason they had for doing it. So I laid on the horn and stuck a middle finger out the window and drove by really slowly.
That felt good.
Well, it did. But then I realized someone 10 cars back might not have seen me raise my finger but recognized that I was a person laying on the horn and thought that I was agreeing with the people on the overpass. It was kind of lose-lose.
Yeah, it is lose-lose. You know?
What is with people? Again, it was like the trucker strike that we were talking about. You want to talk about that?
Oh, I think I want to pat myself on the back for saying that that was Occupy Wall Street for rednecks, was the trucker strike, because it was just as misguided as far as who it was going to affect and how centralized the impacts were going to be and how they had no clear plan. It was just the Republican version of it, with rednecks being like, I'm going to drive my truck around the 270 spur and show these assholes what's happening.
Complete waste of time and gas.
The only thing, the environmentalists too. I'm rolling diesel today.
What? In the Huffington Post article that you sent out, Chuck, it said that the truckers were somehow a coalition of Tea Party truckers. Keep that in mind. And then the quote from the head guy is, "The only thing that motivates every politician is their money." Well, every fucking politician includes the Tea Party members. What the fuck are you talking? Like, the idiocy and hypocrisy of these people is unbelievable. On top of that, they weren't going and parking in front of the government. They were slowing down the fellow civilians that are supposed to be on their side. What fucking sense do you people think you're making?
Sure.
Then later on in the same Huffington Post article, this guy openly admits, we were just doing it to get attention and don't actually plan on doing it. Go fuck yourself.
It's pretty amazing. By the way, so episode, what's today? October 11th. So episode 17 went up today, which was when we were doing predictions on the shutdown. Right. And your boy's time is already like 5 days overdue.
Who, you?
I had them done last week.
By Wednesday.
Now I think the cool thing to say is for people to be like, with the government gone, you just realize that you don't even need them, man.
I needed to have a cafeteria and a bathroom in the mornings, but that's about it for me. But the other thing is, when I found out I was getting to get paid, furlough for life, bitch.
You're getting paid.
I never want to go back. I got half of my regular paycheck today.
So they didn't even do anything.
It
was just a complete waste of money. We didn't even get anything from the government. We didn't get any productivity from the government, and we still paid them.
I would argue that Cole might actually be more productive at his job sitting at home on his couch.
Yeah. I've definitely written a lot more.
He hasn't wasted water.
I just think the data charges on the internet and water and toilet paper usage at the archives are down.
You should pay me not to show up, and you'll get more out of me. It's like this show from now on. Just, I won't even be on the show, and it'll be better.
I won't have to vacuum up arm hair after you leave.
Yo.
How ironic is that, that I have to take a Claritin because I'm allergic to the hair on your cats?
Right.
And I have more hair on my body than any pet combined that you guys
would
have.
Would it make you happy if the cats complained to me when you leave about your dander?
Now we're even.
Yo, that'd be amazing. So, Cole and I were in a battle. It was like thrown by the Source. It's actually the one time my picture was in the Source magazine that I know I've shown to both of you.
Does your mom smile every time she sees your face up in there?
It's on the... Yes, she does. It's actually on my mom's fridge somewhere.
Is that true? I was like, what am I missing in what Steve's saying here?
It's a
Biggie line. Smile every time my face is up in the Source.
Oh, man. There's this song myself so hard.
And you played
Juicy.
Yourself.
Yeah.
So
you played yourself.
Cole and I had been battling a lot, and I started working on like pre-written material, I guess you could say, but it was floating around in my head because he was so hairy, and every joke was about him being hairy, but none of them were original, and we lived together. So I'm going to pat myself on the back right here. God, Cole's going to probably kick like 30 bars about me after I say this. But
no,
yeah, you're going to get this later.
I said, how am I supposed to start this? This cat's got enough hair in his armpit to carpet our whole apartment.
Yeah. And we were living together.
We were living together at the time.
Hey, yo.
I always thought that was great. Any MC that disagree with me, shave your arms.
I said to any MC that disagree with me, shave your arms.
Yeah, that's the best line of all time.
By the way, another one that I did not win. Cole won that battle. I came out hot, and I must have just deflated. Or Cole always had comebacks, man. He'd be like, if my arm's hairy, then fucking something.
The best line I ever had was, this guy was like, something about how my mom, like saying how I was hairy and then something about my mom. And then my rebuttal was, the battle is on. you've never battled another MC as hairy as me unless you battled your mom, something like that. Or, like, I would always have something like that. You know what bothered me more than anything? If someone was like, you're whack, I'd like, I just disagree, and I'll take that with a grain of salt. When people make fun of my hair, like, it actually hurts.
That doesn't.
Well, because I'm like, come on, man. Like,
you
I don't
no,
believe
you have
in
no
God.
Control over that.
I believe in irony and karma and things like that. But I developed so much body hair at a young age. I hadn't done anything wrong yet. You couldn't have given me like a huge cock or like fucking like muscles out the wazoo or like super intelligence.
Maybe
of all the things to have in abundance that a dude can have, body hair is not the one.
Dude, maybe you were just really cold in a previous life.
He's got a PBR tall boy of body hair.
Yeah. Well, people are like, oh, like, you must be into like woodworking. Like, that's like the complete opposite. I read poetry and watch Law and Order. I don't want to fucking
poetry kind of falls in line with it, dude.
With being hairy?
Yeah.
By the way, but going back, because Cole was saying favorite line, actually my favorite Cole battle rap line, he was in such a zone. He said to somebody, it was like right around Halloween. It was like, I'll take your face and make a plaster caster, so next year I can dress up as the wackest rapper. Yeah. I was like, yo, wow. Jesus Christ.
My favorite line when I would always get real heated was, eat a dick, you fucking piece of shit. Because I feel like it does rhyme. It's such a perfect way to end it. Like, there's a lot of different little nuggets in there.
Dude, for as lyrical and poetic as Cole is, I did not expect that to be...
Eat a dick, you fat piece of shit.
That's nice. Direct.
I felt like I had a line the other day. Did I tell you? Oh, yeah, the one last week. Find a more suitable place to change a kid's diaper because I'm feeling poop in my face. That was like from an actual experience where I was sitting next to someone changing a diaper. I was like, yo, what? Am I not right here? Breastfeeding, right, you know, right, I get that. That's necessary. But like bringing poop and urine out in the open, chill with that. Chill, B.
That stuff can go airborne at any second.
Yeah. I've seen World War Z. I know what can happen. What else we got? I think Breezy Bruin is the East Coast Saphir. How do you feel about that, Chuck?
Yo, I honestly don't know enough of Breezy Bruin stuff.
That's
I know
I'm
who he is.
I don't know a lot of Breezy Bruin stuff.
Where did that guy like come
what
up? What's his career? Like, oh, sorry, I'm stepping
you
all over.
Hey, can you?
That's my bad.
Two.
I'll fall back. Let me
keep
fall
cutting.
Back.
No, just keep doing it. It feels so right.
Manhattan represent.
What were you saying?
Yeah, I was agreeing that I have. I know who he is. He's got such a distinctive voice. I mean, his style, I don't know if his style is that distinctive, but if you heard him, you're like, okay, that's definitely Breezy Bruin.
I feel like he's the kind of dude, when I listen to his delivery, I have no idea where it came from.
Yeah.
I mean, there's little elements here and there, but for the most part, it's so loose and floating around the snares. Whereas with Saphir, I feel the same way. The one I talked to somebody once, actually Dez from Albany, who used to work with Knobs. They might still work together. They might still be married. I don't know. But he told me Saphir was one of those graffiti kids, and that's where that wild style came out of. Started in writing, was like, yo, I'm just going to get outside the lines and try some crazy shit. Then they transposed that onto the mic, which is dope. Me, I stick with the basics.
Eat shit, fat piece of shit. Eat a dick.
Give
sorry,
me more credit
sorry,
than that.
Sorry. Eat a dick, you fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Chuck, did you listen to the J-Zone album? Hello.
You there, Chuck?
He's giving me the one. All right, so the new J-Zone album is kind of hit or miss. The highs are really high,
okay,
and the lows are tolerable, you know?
It's interesting. The two songs that I've heard, including the one that you just played, the Peter Pan Syndrome, which I guess is more of an interlude, or is that
just
the intro?
I think it's an intro.
Okay, but such a clever take on that aspect of that's already been run over a million times by rappers.
Who else has
in terms of like
this?
Yo, like, you're played out, you know, you're too old.
I kind of felt like he was breaking new ground with it
that?
A little bit.
Okay,
just because he was being so honest about it, you know.
Right.
But he's dead on with his fan base. Who do you think's listening to J-Zone records? 30-something folks who are struggling with growing up, or just, you know, falling in line, selling their record collection, and just dying. But fuck it, why can't you still be an older person and enjoy the shit you liked when you were a kid?
Right.
There's no fucking
you can.
Reason.
You just have to be curmudgeon-y enough like he is to be able to say, you know what, fuck you guys. Like, I'm not going to internalize your hate. Fuck you, I like what I like. But The point I was making is that I think he's such an interesting writer in terms of he takes unique angles on songs.
Yeah.
And the idea of Peter Pan, like the overgrown boy. But I also did like the other song. What was it called? Where he basically what he's saying is dating a really hot girl is more trouble
it's
than
more
it's
trouble
worth.
Than it's worth.
Yeah. I think it's like a new car. After the first time you fuck or drive it off the lot, it just I did say it. It's wow. lost a lot of its appreciation.
So what do you know about the guy who wrote Peter Pan?
Not much.
He was kind of a crazy
I'd imagine
character.
He had some issues.
He had some issues, man. Yeah. Well, I know a little bit about him.
I feel like you could tell me that he was a pedophile, and I believe it.
Okay, that is something that was rumored to be true.
Right.
He was a pedophile, but he also had a brother who died at a very early age. I think him and his brother were around the same age.
Was his brother a pedophile?
Okay. That's R.I.P. to whoever wrote Peter Pan. I mean, I should probably know this. But so his brother died at a very young age, and it traumatized his mom. Like to the point where she was bedridden and wouldn't do anything and just mourned his loss for years and years. And as a result...
So basically my mom without anyone dying.
Okay. We're getting a little too deep here.
Sorry.
Okay. So as a result, she would always tell him how she always wanted him to remain like a kid. Like never leave me. Stay like a kid forever.
Okay. Healthy.
And he developed a syndrome... where he didn't age. Like he was one of those people who was 50 but still looked right. like they were 15 years old.
Looked like it?
Yeah, okay. Looked like.
Wow.
And he stunted his own growth. Like mentally stunted his own growth because he was so fucked up from his mom.
Okay.
And then fucking wrote Peter Pan.
That's crazy because that's a very sophisticated idea.
Yeah.
Although I guess you could say that a 15-year-old could still come up with sophisticated ideas. That's sick.
No, he was a grown man, but
right.
he looked like he was 15
right.
years old.
But also mentally, he was still 15.
No, I think, I'm saying mentally, he stunted his own growth.
Right.
I should say psychologically stunted his own growth.
Physically. That manifested
yes, it
itself
manifested
physically.
Itself
but he had the mind
physically.
Of a 50-year-old.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying he was
no.
like a... Okay.
No.
Dude, that's... Yeah, that's... Oh.
It's bugged out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some like...
So we're going left field with this, but... Back to the J-Zone album.
Did he look like Pharoah Monch? Is that what you said?
That's where I was getting.
Was he in the super group with Saphir and Pharoah Monch?
He eventually became a very well-known rapper named Miley Bieber.
I feel like I can tell Chuck's missing because we keep having a very smooth conversation. What's going on with Chuck?
He hasn't interrupted us in at least 5 minutes.
I see him laughing. Why isn't it making any noise? Is your mic on, Chuck?
All right. So...
Were we not recording?
No, we're recording. He probably just wasn't.
Don't even let me look at the computer because I'll just fuck it up. How do you turn this on? And the next thing you know, it's just everything's exploded.
Everything's just fucked up. The album is cool though.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I always feel like he was so slept on production wise.
To me, that's his strong point, is the production is ridiculous. You know, the choice of samples, the way he layers stuff together.
Right.
And it's always like, the beats are always like cut real lively, you know?
A lot of change-ups, too.
Yeah, a lot of change-ups, nothing
things.
Boring, you know? Like you won't just have a straight loop. There'll be a loop, and then he'll throw in just vocals from left field.
Yeah.
So
a lot of movie samples.
Yeah.
I also feel like the strength of him, he's a very good example of how people who make beats and then write to the beat that they just made.
Always going
to
be.
He's so on point
on
with
point.
His writing.
Yep. There's a song at the end where he's experimenting with like the trap style of beats and songs.
Okay.
It's very funny.
Worth checking out.
Yeah.
He's a funny ass dude.
Funny dude.
At least on his music. I met him a couple times. He wasn't an asshole, but I was like,
he seems like he's serious a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Like outside of the music, he's very serious.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which I could see lending itself towards humor.
Sure. All right. So, tell me, did you listen to the Yeezus album finally?
I did.
All right, what'd you think, man?
You know, honestly, I'll never forget when I heard, what was the song that had the video of the white person as a slave running through the forest?
No idea.
It was the Jay-Z, off Watch the Throne. I think it might have been Ends in Paris. There's, you know the song I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't
about?
Think I've ever seen the video.
All right, so anyway, like, I felt like on that song... Jay-Z's verse sort of dealt with the topic. And then when Kanye came in, he just talks about sex.
Sure.
I find that, like, think we actually discussed this on an earlier episode of Chrome Bills, available at soundcloud.com/Chrome Bills.
Hey, yo.
He's so obsessed with sex, which, I mean, which dude isn't? If I was in his position, I'd be fucking... I mean, dude, who's the chick with the short blonde hair, the fat ass, something? Amber Rose. Yeah. I mean, dude, I could die after I had sex with her. She's, like, fucking perfect. But I feel like a lot of times his music just goes off in this direction where it breaks down to, I have a lot of money, I could probably fuck your wife if I wanted to, and I can have sex with anybody. It's like, you know, I'm not interested in hearing that, A, over and over again, B, on songs that just have immaculate production, and C, on a song that has a title that would lend itself towards more of a umbrella.
More of a thought-provoking.
Yeah.
Lyrically, there's something still left to be desired.
And it's so odd because, you know, we're, again, on some evergreen shit, because I think this will be a pretty popular thing going forward. Mm-hmm. His appearance on Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Right.
I thought he was very well spoken. I thought the points that he made were over the top smart. And I'm, you know, it's just odd to hear that. Normally when you hear, like when I would hear Nas get interviewed,
right,
his music was brilliant. And then I'd hear him talk and, you know, you can't help but have a chasm between the two.
Yep.
Whereas with Kanye, it works in reverse.
It is.
I'd almost rather hear him talk and then listen to his instrumentals.
Sure.
So what'd you think?
I really respect where he's going. He's almost a better interviewee than a rapper.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that he's going with the ultra confidence and sort of his rebellion against his own fame and celebrity is awesome. And I like watching. It reminds me of like a Muhammad Ali interview or something.
Well, I think
supreme confidence, you know.
Well, that, and I thought it was very interesting that he did the interview with Jimmy Kimmel, because his point has been, and what he was saying in the BBC interview that eventually got parodied, was, not only am I, all the things that made me successful in music in terms of being hardworking, but also creative genius, I can carry that over to fashion. But the powers that be in the fashion world are holding me back from doing that.
That's how he should have worded it, and it came off sounding like a crazy person rant.
Well, here's the thing.
We all got the point, but if you watch it just kind of, you know, just kind of coming in and out of actually paying attention to what he's saying, you're like, dude, what are you talking about?
I feel like he's a minnow that is saying, hey, follow me and I'll get you to where you want to go. And you go through this crazy adventure through the ocean, swimming in all different directions. You end up where you needed to be, and it was kind of fun, but you're just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
But the other thing was, Jimmy Kimmel was able to make an analogy, as could we, as professional podcasters. Jimmy Kimmel started out in radio, and he was a behind-the-scenes producer, getting levels, and then he started writing skits for the on-air talent.
Yeah.
And the people running the station said to him, stick to what you're best at. Stay behind the scenes. He's
right.
Like, nah, fuck you.
Right.
Like, I can do all of this.
Yeah.
And in his industry, the powers that be were trying to hold him back.
Right.
And I thought he could really relate to
same thing to Kanye, just being a producer.
Yeah. Don't let that shit hold you back.
Dude, it's so weird.
If you want to stand on the overpass with signs saying impeach Obama.
Right.
You should just stay home and kill yourself.
All right. Here we go. All right, we're back. Hey,
there
so we're not even gonna transition that out.
Smooth.
F it.
Smooth.
So you're just back in the mix. We've been talking about Kanye on Jimmy Kimmel. Chuck,
thoughts on that, Chuck?
Well, I'd actually like to hear your thoughts on the production on
Yeezus.
Yes, and the production on Yeezus.
It's amazing. It really is.
It's fucking.
I think it's
cool.
Really good. You know, I feel like it's the kind of thing where. Yeah.
We're live, dude, so I'm not chopping this in. So just hop
in. I feel like...
Yep.
I feel like if LP had made that record...
2940.
I feel like LP could make that album...
2740, sorry.
Which is a good thing.
Say it again. If LP did the production.
What we should do is Chuck should start having his own thread and just start talking about that, and then you get your own, and then I get mine, and we just start talking about three different things.
My bad.
No, I'm not saying. I think it'd actually be kind of dope.
It's not good.
27-40.
By the way, I do like that as I punched out, the last thing I heard was Cole say, I noticed that Chuck's mic is off because we've been having a seamless conversation for 5 minutes, at which point I just closed all windows and rebooted. I was like, son of a bitch.
What do you think about what he was doing?
By the way, I thought that album was garbage.
Why?
It's just not interesting music to me.
Even production-wise?
I only listened to it a few times. I can't get past how annoying he sounds rapping on it. And this is from someone that loves several of his albums.
I would encourage you to check out Bound, number one, and then the opening track On Sight is super hype to me.
But see, I feel like On Sight, this the point I was going to make was I feel like the beats that he's doing, the things that he's doing technically with the instruments that he's using, he's doing it, you know, he's tweaking some things that I've heard other people doing, including somebody like LP, who I think is just a genius. The thing about what Kanye is doing beat-wise, I think, is, you know, on some 3030 shit.
Sure.
But the opening song, On Sight, like, every line, he's just like, I could have sex with your wife in the Hamptons.
I hear
just
you.
Like, dude, like, what are you doing?
He's filling space.
Yeah. Well, not only could you, you should put out an instrumental album.
Yeah.
Kanye, when you listen to this for the third time, because I know that you will, put out an instrumental album. I think artistically that would be the best move for him.
Would you say that he's a fan of the rap you?
Like absolutely.
We were talking about a couple episodes
absolutely.
Ago.
People
like to go in on the rap you.
Poor
hey,
guy.
Hey.
That poor guy.
So Vernon Reed looks like Pharaoh Monch.
I think, dude, you know that, okay, there's a song, I'm not sure which track it is, but, I'm thinking Magna Carta, Holy Grail, but there's that one song that was a complete jack of the Adrian Young track.
There's two, actually.
Is there really? Two Adrian?
Yeah, because there's the Picasso Baby is a straight jack of the Adrian Young joint. Straight jacking. And then Heaven. The Heaven joint is off that same album. I want to shout out that I actually really love that album. So I want to shout out Adrian Young's album called There's Something About
Something
April.
Something About April. Okay.
I feel like that's something
very
that
dope.
Started to happen more recently where on the Black album. What was the name? The song, Allow Me to Introduce Myself. My name is So. That beat was an interlude off of the first OC album.
Yeah.
Then the opening, the beat that Kanye did for Common on B, the opening beat was something that I think Muggs had used.
That's okay, so that's sample jacking, right?
Yeah, as opposed to an album that came out in 2011.
Yeah, but dude, he jacked the whole song.
Right.
There's another song on the J and on the Yeezus where they jack a whole song.
Like
they just
lyrics
took,
and everything?
Just took the beat, not the lyrics, but it was like an EDM song, and they just took the whole beat and rapped over it.
Yeah. I don't
Oh, it's the I Can't Stop.
That's it. Yep.
I mean, is that like Puffy taking over the Police song?
That was lame, though.
Yeah.
These are still kind of dope. Fuck it. I'm not mad at it. It's all right.
Even as a crate digger who uses samples to make beats,
I kind of want to stoke your flames a little bit. I don't make that many beats, but I am a crate digger. I would classify myself as a mid-level crate digger.
Okay. A crate dig.
Steve also considers himself a bedroom DJ.
I am a bedroom DJ, 100%.
I'm not sure where to go with that.
Dude, do you guys want to... the Cool Disco Dan movie is coming back to the AFI in Summer Spring.
Oh, when is
that? The 18th, next Friday and Saturday.
Chuck, when are you going to come visit us?
November 8th through the 10th, I'll be in town.
Okay.
But I am going to see the Cool Disco Dan movie at the AFI in Summer Spring.
Cool.
Next Friday and Saturday. If you were interested...
That's dope, man. You
you're into
come
movies.
For
I'd really like
movies.
To see it. Yeah, but I'm not into society.
You like movies?
Being around people.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes. I'm really bad at saying, I think Chuck and I have talked about this before. I'm really bad at saying something that I'll commit to something 7 days in advance.
You're non-committal.
Well, now I've learned to become non-committal.
Right.
Because I feel like I committed to so many things that I just completely loathe doing. But I only did them because I said that I would do them 7 days before. Now I just say I'm not going to do anything. I might just show up and sit next to you at the theater after telling you all week I'm not going to be there.
Dude, my nephew's having his third birthday party soon. You should come with me.
Is it on a Sunday?
It's on a Sunday.
I feel like every little kid's birthday and every fucking wedding should be on a Sunday during the football season. Because that makes sense.
They're like, that's at 1 o'clock on a Sunday in October, right?
Yeah.
There's no good days for
mark
that
me
for
down.
That stuff.
How about Saturday?
Weddings are always on Saturdays.
Right. Why do people, like I saw on where I live, on the fridge, there's a wedding invitation October 27th. And in my head, I was like, if that's a Sunday, I want to email this guy and tell him to cut his dick off. Because you don't deserve it. You're not a man.
But what if, okay, what if you're a college football fan, dude?
Then don't get me.
Good
married.
Point. What if you're college over? That's true.
Yeah, a lot of there's
actually,
that's
Cole
you.
Makes a very good point.
I guarantee in the 150 people at your wedding, if they're unfortunate enough to be that many people who are friends with a dickless asshole like this guy, that some of them like professional
in
football.
Wow. If you have a fall wedding, you're missing either the school you went to's big game or your favorite NFL.
Then have a fucking pair and tell her to wait until February 4th.
So you just have a spring and summer wedding?
Don't get married.
Don't get married is what you're saying.
Don't. I mean, am I alone in this? I feel Chuck, like I get offended by it.
Chuck, what say you?
I think that if you are into college and pro football, you're probably not going to have much of a marriage anyway, so
good.
Maybe you need to consider
good, that's
that.
That's a good point.
When you're planning
that
it.
Was a good point. If you're,
I don't think you can have much of a life if you're into college and pro football.
Yeah, honestly, that's a very good point. I've made a conscious effort not to get into college sports because I was like, I will never do anything but watch television if I get into college sports the way that I am into football and basketball pro.
I agree. Plus, it seems a little bit weird as, like, the age gap grows further and further.
It is
like,
weird.
I just don't trust, like, a 60-year-old man that's, like, really into college sports. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you?
Do you know who David Halberstam is?
Dude, it has to do with it's all about the school you went to.
No. That's one thing if you were all about your alma mater. Okay. But what if you're like, dude, we have to watch Georgia LSU today. I'm like, these people are kids.
Like, if you're into high school football,
that's like saying you want to go see what I do at the gym tomorrow.
It's not the same, but that's funny.
I know. It's not at all the same. It's not even close.
You want to see what I do at the gym.
Along those lines, though, I would definitely like to record my pickup basketball games, and I would definitely watch
them. You've never seen yourself play pickup basketball?
I did once. A friend of ours, so in the neighborhood I grew up in, Kensington.
Cole, you don't want to.
What's that? I don't want to?
Well, you look...
You don't want
not
to
you
it.
In particular, but you, like the rap
all
you, looks really slow.
Oh, I know. Dude,
the rap you looks mad pathetic.
I've said for years, I am the most unathletic athlete you'll ever see. I have very good eye-hand coordination, and that's it. But I'd still like... When I start hitting the jump shots, they're falling. I'd like to see an hour of that. Because I'm a douche.
Hey, the weird thing is that when you know the tape's running, I always play so much different too. I need candid camera to be like, we were actually filming you for a year of playing basketball, and here's a 10-minute highlight. Then I might feel good about myself.
I hope Vernon Reed never sees this.
Who's Vernon Reed?
The guy who looks like Pharoah Monch.
Who the fuck is Vernon Reed?
The guitarist from Living Color.
Oh, you said Vernon Davis earlier, didn't you?
Did I really?
I think so.
That's racist.
That was
no. I think he said Vernon Reed. I just think Steve.
Now you're
racist.
Fuck.
I was telling somebody, I was walking around the house just in it, like goofing off. I was like, I'm about to eat some Chinese food because I'm in a Chinese mood. And somebody was like, yo, that's kind of racist. And I was like, how? How is that racist? Like, A, it's a joke. B, how is that racist?
You could be in the mood for Chinese food.
A, how is that racist? And secondly, it's just a joke. I hate when people do that shit. How bad is your attention span?
Secondly of all.
Yeah, secondly of all. Lastly.
Second of all. Yo, so before we get too deep into the episode, I did prepare a game.
We're 30 minutes in.
Yeah, we're knee deep.
People have already turned this off.
There is a testicle inside the vagina right now. We're balls deep.
Balls deep. Yo, that's my boy Matt's fantasy team name.
Balls deep.
Balls deep.
I don't think
it's a great fantasy name.
Just to be clear, I think balls deep doesn't mean a testicle inside the vagina.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Just wanted to make sure.
I did know that.
I'm sure.
Maybe not for you.
Dude,
are you sure?
I've seen a video. I've seen a video where that actually happens.
Oh my God, of course.
It's weird. It's like how is that enjoyable for anybody?
How much of that did you watch? More than enough.
Enough to see it go in there.
See, that's my thing about any like porn or any kind of horror movie.
Yeah.
once you see something,
he just compared porn and horror. Well, in terms,
yeah, I think it's stop dead on.
In terms of seeing images that you don't necessarily want to see, and that you could, you wish you could erase from the old hard drive.
Yeah.
The longer that you spend looking at it in that moment,
the more you're scarred.
The worse it's going to be when it pops up in your head going forward.
It is.
Make sense?
It is. I'm the same way. I think it's a great analogy.
That's a fair point, actually.
Porn and horror movies. Like sometimes you just I don't look at horror movies, man. I'm like I close my eyes and like tell me when the death.
So you make up for it with the porn.
I don't watch weird porn either.
I saw a very good documentary once on porn.
I'm not lying.
Really?
I don't like the weird stuff, man.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, but who does?
Some people will look at the weird stuff.
Yeah.
But what's weird? Don't you remember in college? They're like, "Here, check out this horse." The horse, you know, that video with the horse.
Yeah, like
I never watched that. I'm like, never. I'm not. Why would I ever look at that?
Yeah,
the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, this person, I don't think it was anybody of note, but a porn producer made a very good point where they're like, the reason that Hollywood, particularly in America, where violence. Did somebody just flush a toilet? Was that in the song? Chuck, do you have a toilet in your living room now?
I live in a studio, man. What do you want?
Yo,
from
he's
me?
Got a kitchen sink that flushes.
Do you really?
It's that efficient. It's that efficient.
I just heard it. My music clip is like 8 seconds behind, but I definitely just heard it.
But the porn producer was saying that the reason there's so much porn in America is like you can't have porn in action. You can't have like sex or nudity in movies to like a ridiculous level. That's why there's so much violence. Violence in
it
movies
makes up for it.
Replaces the sex that they're not allowed to have.
Right.
Which I think says a lot about the human mind. And now I want to have sex with a machine.
And I'm American fucking, I want to be killing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd rather show people getting their arms chopped off than two people making sweet, sweet love.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Jack Bauer on 24, I always use the example, has killed like over 500 people a season. Yet you've never even seen him lick a soft milky bread.
Whoa! Angel, angel, angel. Wait, why is it milky though? That's
all right. So we were talking before we went on air.
You don't think a breast is milky?
Not unless the girl's breastfeeding. Why would it be milky?
That's the thing. People are into that in porn. Lactating.
I saw a video of that
no,
once.
I definitely wasn't going there with it. I don't know.
Sure.
I
think,
you just meant like, you meant like supple.
On the first date, Chuck's right, like, so I gotta get this girl pregnant.
So I've been,
Wait, okay, I think we should all step back.
So I've been developing this game for the show where you,
Vernon Reed.
Yes.
I think we should all come on.
Before we run out of time, I put a lot of work
in.
Okay,
all right.
I put an entire cigarette break for you guys into developing this game.
Cool. I wasn't part of that cigarette break, for the record.
I think it's going to be fun. Yeah. I am going to name. I want to first
stop yelling. Stop yelling at us, first of all. Stop yelling at us.
Ah! Am I yelling?
A little bit.
All right, my.
You just got my ears pregnant.
You have some milky ears.
You put a ball in my ears.
Here's what happened. When my computer crashed, I lost my mic feed to my headphones.
Sure. It's mic feed of different styles.
Normally I'd hear myself in my headphones, and I don't, so I think I'm just screaming at you guys.
We're good. Your levels that you're at now sound great.
Yes.
Let's play the game.
So what I have is, shout out to ComplexMagazine.com.
Again.
.com.
I love them.
I love Complex. They have a list of 120 of the worst rapper names.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is, I went through and I've developed lists of 5 rappers. And you're going to have to tell me which one is not actually a rapper name.
Done.
I've thrown some wild
cards.
That's
pretty goddamn brilliant, Chuck.
You are brilliant.
I gotta give you that.
You're brilliant.
I knew I was on here for more than just interrupting you assholes. Starting off at the top. So we're going to have 5, and one of these is not actually a rapper name. We have the Teabag Boys.
I love that one. I hope that's real because I want to buy that shit.
They're in different styles.
Different styles.
Skinhead Rob.
Skinhead Rob is actually a rapper. I know for a fact that's a rapper.
Do you really?
Boys in the Hoodie.
That's a rapper name.
Botany Boys.
Shut up.
Blaze, your dead homie.
Wow.
All right. So those are the 5 names.
Okay.
Let me run through them real fast for the listeners. The Teabag Boys, Skinhead Rob, Boys in the Hoodie, Botany Boys, Blaze Your Dead Homie. Did you notice that three of the five had boys? There's a little theme going
okay,
on.
Okay, so I'd like to ask a question.
Go for it.
You made up one of these names?
Yeah, but then I Googled it to make sure it didn't exist.
That's amazing. My guess is Boys in the Hoodie is the one you made up.
I'm going to go with...
Cole, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Teabag Boys.
By the way, I think the Botany Boys, if you know what botany means, is actually really fucking funny. Yeah. Steve nailed it, though. It's Boys in the Hoodie I made up.
Okay. Tight. That means we have a special kinship where I can read your brain.
That's the thing. I feel like I need to get inside both of your heads.
Balls deep.
I need to get ahead and get in your head.
You need to go balls deep in our milky ears.
Oh, wow.
All right, go ahead.
That is... Wow.
Steve, put your pants back on.
My bad.
All right, next one. We have Nose Candy Man.
What was that one?
Nose Candy Man.
Nose Candy Man.
These are ridiculous.
Apparently a playoff of Candy Man.
I feel like that's a sleep.
There was a rapper named the Candy Man.
Yo, A to the D, the Renegade Jew.
Shut the fuck up.
I do know that guy. But he had an album
by
called...
By you know...
That's amazing.
You know I don't have the gumption to make that
I
one
he had
up,
an
so
album called The Blood of Abraham.
As being
dude.
Real.
Oh, he was in The Blood of Abraham.
He was in The Blood of Abraham.
Dude, he's calling himself Jesus. After death, the Renegade Jew.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Go ahead.
All right, so we've got Nose Candy Man, A to the D, the Renegade Jew... Chili tea.
That's right up your alley.
No, that's I love chili tea.
There's a group that's called the Goats. Believe it or not,
I do know them.
No, we know the
They're
Goats.
They're rock
that's,
rap,
that's,
right?
No, that was horrorcore.
Okay.
And then there's a MC who has a crew behind him called. Hold on, let me take a
Freddie B in the mic.
Poe White Trash and the Trailer Park Symphony.
I know that exists. That's a real group.
All right, so you got a? Do you have a guess?
So it's
on this
Chili
one?
Tea or Nose Candy Man?
It's Nose Candy Man is the made up one.
Yeah, I'll go with that one, Chuck.
You guys are
two
correct.
Two for two, Chuck. That's actually a really.
That's
really funny. The Nose Candy Man is actually very funny.
Very clever.
I was in a Pusher T mood, so I went with Nose Candy Man.
We should talk about how much I hate Pusher T.
Do you really?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, on this one, we've got... There's a rapper named Mike Studd, apparently. He's white, by the way. We should have done Against the Race on this
also. We should. Let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that.
So we got Mike Studd.
Let's do that.
We have Shorty Shitstain.
That's a real rapper. He was a Wu-Tang affiliate.
That's dope.
He's on the ODB.
He was on the ODB.
A guy called the South Park Mexican.
Yeah, that's real.
South Park, Mexico.
All right, so we're totally going to narrow down.
Should I shut up?
The,
should I shut up for this part?
Just in general, or
well,
during this
at least
game?
Let the listeners let the listeners have some
okay,
fun
my
with
bad,
it and talk
my
about
bad.
It afterwards. So we had Mike Studd, Shorty Shitstain, the South Park Mexican. We have a crew out of Brooklyn, actually called Da Wigglets.
Da Wigglets.
And then we have Wu-Tang affiliate Sean Wiggs. Sean Wiggs is on the
so
list.
When you say
Wu-Tang affiliate, Sean Wiggs. Oh, you know what? I actually saw that dude live.
At Maryland, right? That's on one of the early Chrome Bills
and
episodes.
And he got no love. Even Ghostface
like,
was like,
my man Wiggs is about to tear it up for you.
I fuck with Sean Wiggs.
Do you really?
As a person, I like him.
Do you know him?
No.
All right.
I know he's an artist.
Do you know
he's
this
a pretty ill, he's a pretty ill artist, though. He creates... like little weird toys. Do you know those people who are into toys and stuff? No, I'm not bullshitting. It's like the hip hop toys where they have like weird eyes.
Okay.
And like, I don't know. They're just like.
No.
I see where you're going with it. So he does that.
If you were to go to like Pharrell's boutique shop, he would have a bunch of little toys and shit laying around. All right, fuck it. Sean Wiggs.
I'm sorry.
Is dope.
I feel bad. I
you
feel
guys
bad.
Are assholes.
I feel
man.
Bad. Not that bad, though. Mike Studd is my answer. Are you mad at me now?
He said he's white, so how would he know if he was white if he made him up? If he's imaginary.
Because he's playing us.
Who was the third guy?
SPM.
We have Mike Studd, Shorty Shitstain, mm-hmm. South Park Mexican, Da Wigglets, and
yeah, I'm
Sean
going
Wiggs.
Da Wigglets. I'm
right,
going Da Wigglets, yeah.
Yo, I mean, I made up all the names in this.
But you said
contest,
they're from Brooklyn,
so.
Which is also weird that you made up a rap name
I tried to make them seem less made up. I'm not saying I'm impossible to outsmart. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
But I've seen every episode of South Park. Dope. Mexican.
There you go.
What line was that?
Can I ask you guys a question?
What?
Chuck, did you just say, I'm not saying I'm impossible to outsmart because that's the beat playing in the background?
Correct.
Okay.
So the next time someone says a joke, can you go back and explain why it's funny? I'm being such a dick to you tonight.
You're a fucking
asshole. I'm sorry. You know what the problem is? I didn't bring enough pot.
I'm a dick.
And I'm being a dick.
In fairness, yes, I've noticed Cole, unlike his normal self, he's been very mad when
it's
I cut him off this time. I've seen him like air punching things when I cut him off. Exactly. All right, we got one more. This one I've only got four. We've got Pooh Man, spelled P-O-O-H. Pooh Man.
That's a real dude.
Stop ruining it.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to spell all of these. We've got Acca Fool, which is spelled A-C-A Fool. Acca Fool.
For my own notes, how do you spell Shorty Shitstain?
Like it sounds.
Gotcha. I am writing these down.
That might have been the only time that saying like it sounds was actually funny.
That should be a rapper name. Like it sounds.
Like it sounds. Belly.
Belly.
Nothing really funny about Belly unless you're a big George Carlin fan. And we're going to close. This one only has four. Krispy Kreme.
Caesar K's.
Oh, double K's all days.
Krispy Kreme. Okay. So read them back.
We've got Pooh Man, Acca Fool, Belly, and Krispy Kreme. For our lottery ticket winner,
I got Acca Fool.
I'm going to go Krispy Kreme.
All four of those are real. We need a wild card because I refuse to lose. In the words of Chuck D.
I
kind of
like Acca Fool, though. That's a good one.
Well, how does a name...
By the way,
like,
I'll never let you know the... Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. How did Smith and Wesson legally have to change their name? But not only is Krispy Kreme spelled the same, he still has that name. That's not fair. I hated when Smith and Wesson had to change
their name.
Because
he's not on a record label, that's why.
True.
Yes. He's not signed,
he's
that's
on a,
why.
He's
it doesn't
on the
matter.
Floor of a donut shop.
He's a MySpace rapper.
Yeah, he's tweeting Chuck right now, taking out the .coms.
No, the .com. By the way, three rappers that we know were on this list from, again, shout out to Complex Magazine for the content. 120 worst rapper names. Three rappers that we know on a personal level were on this list. Cecil Otter.
Okay.
Edon.
Was he? Yeah. What's wrong with Edon? That's like his actual name, isn't
it? I don't know.
They hate that. That's racist.
Bullshit. That is
That's
racist.
And Wax was on there as well.
Okay.
Shout out University of Maryland.
Saying that he has a
and
bad
actually,
name?
For Cole, it would extend further because they had Soul on there, too.
S-O-L-E?
They're saying that those are bad names?
Wax sounds good. Wax is a dope name.
Yeah, that's... I mean, that's just looking... Is it a coincidence that all four of those dudes are white?
Yes.
How are you going to compare...
They
you
had
know,
100...
Most of the people
they had
on this list are white,
they had
to be fair.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
at
gracious.
Least half of them.
I always thought Soul was a dope name. S-O-L-E. Whatever.
It's a good fish.
Let's not go down. Let's talk about Vernon Reed.
Spanish fish.
Vernon Davis is fucking up my fantasy year.
By the way, I think Nose Candy Man's kind of a dope.
So
Nose
Candy
Man. I want to hear why you hate Pusha T.
I don't. Okay, I don't hate him. I think Numbers on the Boards is probably top five hip hop songs of this past year.
Oh, are you serious?
Numbers on the Boards? That okay? I'll say the beat on Numbers on the Boards. That beat is fucking slamming, dude.
I'm jaded because at Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest, which you'll remember I didn't actually go to, I watched via live stream because it was raining.
Okay.
He did it live and he rapped on top of his own vocals and the whole thing. I was just like, ugh.
So you hated that?
It made me not even
I'll
like
I'll
him,
send you
really.
The instrumental. The instrumental is fucking cranky. But that guy...
Then we can freestyle over on it on the next Chrome Bills.
Sure.
I saw a video once of his where he was driving by really slow in a car throwing eggs at two white kids. And I was like, yeah, this dude's not for me.
You felt a kinship with the kids?
No, I just feel like, you know, I understand.
I like it.
That I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Okay.
And I feel like things like that don't do anyone any good.
If one of those kids was like half black, half Chinese,
he wouldn't be doing it.
And the other one was, that's what you're saying? You don't think he would be doing it?
No, I mean, the point of the that shot was throwing eggs at white kids.
Why do people hate white children?
I mean, I don't mean like 8-year-olds. I mean, they were like 18-year-old kids, like dressed up in like saggy pants, okay, like playing them. But I was like, yo, like, you know, I'd like to think as a society we're kind of past that shit. I really, you know, I really I was really surprised to see in 2012 someone basically egging their fan base in a video. You know,
plus those, you know, those are two eggs you could have eaten.
But yes, yeah. But it just, you know,
in fairness, based on what those white kids were wearing, they had it coming.
Can I make a point about Pusha T?
No.
I get your permission first?
Go ahead.
All right. He raps about cocaine and selling cocaine in every song, right?
Correct.
It would be like somebody who was an ex-bartender rapping about pouring drinks in every rhyme.
All right.
And like different ways you could make a martini or like crack the top of a Coors Light.
Right.
It's just weird, man.
Well, you know what? That could be the newest member of different styles. It could be Pulla T, because all he does is pull on the tap.
Pulla Tap.
Pour a beer.
His name is Pulla Tap.
No. Pulla Tap. I hear you. I mean,
Steve and I were going back and forth with rhymes for this bartender lyricist. I think mine was like a bottle of brew, please. Olives and blue cheese. And you had something about Stoli through the holy.
Yeah,
give me some more guacamole.
Right. I put the Stoli through the holy and told my waiter, give me some more guacamole.
That's another thing that bothers me about rappers who only stick to one topic. There's so many more words in a rap song. You know, you get 16-bar verses in a rock song. You might have three different 8-bar verses or whatever. But it's just more words for you to say the same thing. Just don't say anything. Don't get married.
I could have sworn at
don't
one
leave your
point.
House.
What else shouldn't
don't
we do?
Make music.
Don't watch the Law and
Curl
Order.
Up and die.
I could have sworn at one point those guys came out and said, we're just rapping about it. It's not even really that real. And now he's like, it's so fucking real.
What is this, a trucker strike? Get your shit together.
Yeah.
It's real or it's not.
I swear I heard the same story, Chuck, but then I did a little bit of research. And apparently their entourage is arrested and in jail for moving a lot of drugs. And they're the ones who didn't get caught doing it. But like everybody that was in their camp got arrested, thrown in jail for a really long time. Pusha T's brother is actually now a born-again Christian who makes Christian rap records.
I love God.
And Pusha T is the only one who continues on talking about how much coke he sells.
Go for it.
It's weird. You cannot question
when we heard the clip.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
He's clearly gifted lyrically, but content-wise, he's so limited, it bores the shit out of me.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't want to agree. I want somebody to really like Pusha T.
How about that furlough, huh?
Okay.
Should we bring Petey Suggs
yes,
in?
Yes, I was just about to say rappers. We need to get Pete in here to explain what's so amazing about Pusha T. Shout out to Sug Life.
I do think Pusha T has a cool voice. I'll say that.
Yeah.
No?
God.
No, that's what he says.
Yeah.
That's like his ad libs.
Yeah.
His.
Biatch.
Go ahead.
Biatch.
That's his guy.
Do your biatch.
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 I'm sorry. I feel like, Steve, you're going to have to mix my vocals really low because, like I said, I can't actually hear my own audio,
I'm
screaming on
you
people.
You are really screaming
no.
on people. This is the first use of a banjo in a rap record. Did you know that?
Who made this beat?
Mr. Lif.
Yo.
This is a Mr. Lif record when he was signed to Grand Royal, the Beastie Boys, like, indie label.
Yeah.
Did you know that Mr. Lif was signed to the Beastie Boys indie label?
I did not.
Yep.
I did
he
not.
Put out this 12-inch. It's called Farmhand.
Okay.
And I believe this is the first use of a banjo sample. No, it's not. I'm sorry. I'm lying. But it's one of the only uses of a banjo sample. I think
I'm lying.
7L.
Yeah. No, I think
is
I think
it
Lif. No, I think Lif actually did it.
But this album was off of. It had like the black cover with the what was it called? Like rations.
Emergency
or something?
Rations.
Emergency rations.
No. This is before. This is. Lif actually put out a fucking probably 10, 12 inches before he ever put out anything on Def Jux.
Okay.
So he had a bunch of Boston shit.
I Phantom, I think, is one of the best.
Super
slept
that
on.
Concept is amazing.
Edon kills
very dope.
That album.
I agree.
Killed that fucking beat.
Yeah.
Totally.
Very dope.
Oh, shit.
By the way, before we get out of here, can you guys explain to me what's going on with Kanye's voice? Or did
shit.
I miss that when I...
Yo, I think what we just did was hit 60...